You are listening to WIOX Roxbury, Community Radio 91.3 FM and WIOXradio.org. Sweet.
WIOX is supported by the Phoenicia Diner on Route 28 in Phoenicia, offering diner classics made with fresh ingredients, sourced largely from the Catskills and the Hudson Valley, and a bar serving cocktails, frozen drinks, and New York beer and wine. Open Monday, Thursday, and Friday till 5 p.m., Saturday and Sunday till 8 p.m. The Phoenicia Diner. Come for the mountains, stay for the food. 845-688-9957 or PhoeniciaDiner.com. WIOX is supported by Mountain Flame in Arkville, featuring a range of products for home heating solutions. A variety of fireplaces, wood stoves, and gas and pellet stoves are available and on display. For sales and service, Mountain Flame in Arkville. Warming home since 1980. Details at mountainflame.com.
Hi, I'm Andy Cahill, and I host the Andy Cahill Show Saturdays from noon to 2 p.m. You know, I've been with WIOX right from the very beginning, and I'm here to share some exciting news. The FCC has approved WIOX's expansion, increasing our FM reach and allowing us to serve even more of the Catskills and beyond. Your support for this expansion would be extremely helpful and very much appreciated. Go to WIOXradio.org and click the donate button. And thank you for your support. And I'll see you on Saturday at noon for the Andy Cahill Show. Thanks again.
You're listening to WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains at 91.3 FM and on cable MTC Cable Channel 20 and at WIOXradio.org on the web and on any smart device. This is From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Ryan and John. John, how's it going?
I am not bad. It is getting cold out there. Some snowflakes falling. Maybe winter's here. I see lows in the single digits coming up.
Oh, yeah? When?
Next week.
No kidding.
Yeah, it looks like lows in 6, 8, 2, many days in a row.
Maybe the ground will finally freeze.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe people get some work done in the woods, I guess.
Yeah, some logger's not happy. I got a friend who's a logger down in West Shokan, and he's not happy with all the mud out there. I don't blame him.
Right? I don't think there's any logger happy with the mud. Some of them are just going through it now. What else are you going to do? You got to make some money.
Yeah, sure. Sure. So, I don't know. I'm just waiting for sugar and season to begin. So
you're not happy with the weather report then?
I don't really care. You know what? Until it hits February, if it's not running then I'll start to get antsy. But
right. Well, you like to be done early.
I like to be done as early as I can because once the days get longer, I want to be doing other things.
Yeah, like what? I mean, what else can I do in March?
Okay, in March, I got a little hobby orchard, and I want to start putting dormant oil. on the trees. Get them ready for when the insects come out. This year, I'm going to slam those insects.
All right.
Slam them.
Get them.
Dormant oil, right? And then and dormant oil is good because it doesn't affect the beneficial predators. So
so what is this? This is I don't have an orchard. I'm new to this.
What, dormant oil?
Yeah.
You know, basically smothers. It kills the insects by smothering. And it's good because it's not persistent, so it doesn't kill the beneficial predators as much. You know, the predators that actually kill some of the pests that you want, so you don't annihilate everything.
Is this a spray?
Yeah.
I'm picturing you like painting this oil on it.
Yeah, just a backpack sprayer, man.
Cool.
Yeah, backpack sprayer is one of the best things to have. I recommend a Solo. No, I wish I was getting paid by Solo, but I'm not. But Solo makes a good backpack sprayer. Get like a 3-gallon backpack sprayer and off you go. Then I'm going to follow it up with some copper fungicide. That's right, copper.
All right.
Because I am tired of the leaf diseases and all the fungi that are spreading. So I'm done. Copper's coming.
Cool. So that's after your maple season then?
Yeah. Well, it could be during, actually, you know, because the trees start growing a little bit. You want to put the copper on when they're about half green or whatever, you know, they start green tipping up.
Okay.
And the dormant oil goes on before that. There's, you know, if you go look at your apple trees in the late winter, you'll start seeing very minor bud goings on. They'll start swelling. And if you're not looking for it, you won't notice it. But, yeah, they'll start swelling a little bit, you know. You want to be there.
Cool. So the big question. Are you going to tap less trees again this year? Are you sticking to the same number?
No, I've got 20 taps. I might tap less, but 20 taps. And some people say, oh, you only got 20 taps. Well, let me tell you something. I got one tap per behemoth maple tree. And I'm getting the full strength of each tree. So I don't care if it's a 35-inch sugar maple. It's getting one tap, right? And these are big yard maples that have been sucking in and hogging tons of sunlight all summer long, boosting their sugar contents to 3% or more.
Ooh,
that's right. We're talking 27 gallons of sap per 1 gallon. Now, I'm knocking on wood because I'm hoping it's going to be typical and it's going to stay that way. I don't want to see no 40-1, you know. But when you're in the woods tapping trees, you normally get 50-1. But these are big guys, big boys who have proven themselves, and they can average a half a gallon of syrup per tap per year, per season.
Wow. And that's if you're ending early.
I end early. Well, yeah, so I end when the quality goes down.
Yeah, so if you stretched it, you could even go further than that.
Yeah, I could. You know, I don't care to make tobacco syrup, you know, really dark stuff. I'm after what I call table-grade syrup, amber. I don't do any of the Canadian... Whatever, what do they have there, John?
The robust.
Yeah, I don't do that. I'm not a robust guy, you know, and I'm not special like those Vermont syrup people. What do they call it, golden or something? It's crazy.
Right.
It's crazy. Amber. If it's amber, I could see through it, I'm pretty happy. And I think it makes good syrup, so that's my take on maple syrup anyway.
Well, I'm excited, too. I've got my little homemade evaporator that... I ordered new pans for. I use these food service pans. They're like $20 a year. I just buy new pans.
Yeah.
Because why not if they're $20?
Right.
And I just ordered those, so I guess I'm getting ready. Scouted out my trees the other day. I did 8 taps last year. I might do a little more this year. I'm not sure. Might just start with 8 and see how it goes.
Why not? I mean, you can always put in more.
I don't make much. I just give it away. I don't sell a drop. And I hardly use any either. I truly just like making syrup. That's all I like to do.
Well, that's why you're strange.
Right.
You don't eat the syrup. It's kind of like, I used to know a guy who fished after salmon and tuna, and he didn't eat any fish. Remember that guy?
Well, yeah, he's a weird guy.
That was a strange guy.
Yeah.
So what's your problem, and why don't you eat syrup?
In general, I just don't like sweet things. The sweetest thing I really enjoy is a blackberry.
Wow.
You know, and as the ice cream, I'd rather have a smoothie or something if it's something refreshingly cold.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
You know, growing up, I didn't grow up with maple syrup, and those were the dark ages. You know, I remember those days.
When you didn't have it?
I used to get up in the morning, not look forward to breakfast. You know, I ate grape nuts and cluster cereal with soggy milk and honey.
Yeah.
And honey's okay. then I discover maple syrup, right? And it's more than just pancakes. Let me tell you something. You make a breakfast sandwich in the morning.
And you put a little syrup on it.
All right, but hold on. You have it. You have chickens.
I do.
All right. So you're halfway. You're like almost there.
I have eggs every day.
Fresh eggs, best thing in the world, right? Take two. I use three eggs because, you know, I want something to eat. So
sure.
Three eggs.
I'm
on
a three
sandwich.
Egg guy.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit of cheese, maybe sharp cheddar or American, whatever you want. Then avocado, thinly sliced.
Oh.
Then, if I had bacon, that would be really good. Then a little maple syrup on each side of the bun. It's like the best thing in the world, man. I don't know how. I mean, that is by far my favorite meal of the day. I mean, some people dream of like eating salmon or something. I'm like, no, breakfast sandwich. And John and I have scoped out breakfast sandwiches from here to Dutchess County, right?
Oh, yeah. Through the Hudson Valley, we're looking. We're looking for the best breakfast sandwich. And it's not about taste. Not always. There's a ratio between the food you get and the dollars
price.
You paid.
Yeah, price per taste here, right?
Right.
I mean, and
quantity, too. That's factored in a little
bit. Yeah, absolutely.
You can't get nothing. You got to get a meal.
No, I mean, some people, if you're charging $9 for a breakfast sandwich, okay. But, you know, Jax, well, I'm just going to put a plug in for him right now. That's best breakfast sandwich bar none. We are lucky.
Yeah.
In the Catskill Mountains to have Jax.
I get it too often.
It's amazing.
It's too convenient. I pass Jax through Arkville on the way to work every day, and sometimes I'm just like, I'll stop. I got 10 minutes.
New Paltz, you know, it's dry there, man. We went there. We couldn't find a good breakfast sandwich. The places that do have good breakfast sandwiches, they don't even start making breakfast till like 10 a.m. because no one's even up yet. What's up with that?
Crazy. Well, they just went to bed at 4.
I know. So there's nothing going on. But in any case, I don't know. What else is going on before we get into the actual topic of the show?
Not really a lot's going on for me in the forest. I've been trying to go for walks and hikes, lunch breaks and weekends and nights after work if it's light out, I guess. Not really light out, but...
Yeah.
I've been going places that I've either wanted to scout out for a while, doing that during my lunch break every now and then, that I've been scouting out. I've always looked at the mountain from the road and saying, huh, I wonder what's up there to hunt. And either I like it or don't. But also just... The other day we went and we hiked up a mountain that I hunt pretty regularly, but we went a different way than I typically go for the last third, and saw it from a new perspective. It was pretty cool. It's got some snowshoe hare tracks up in there. That was fun to see. Snowshoe hares.
Nice.
I didn't see any. We were looking for them. Julie and I went up. We were looking for some snowshoes and couldn't find one, but saw the tracks.
Nice. When's the season on them?
We're open.
Till February 28th or so?
I don't know. They just changed it. Yeah, it's February something. It's open later. It used to be open during deer season.
Yeah.
But just open recently.
Makes a mess, John, when you shoot them with a 30-06.
Yeah.
Saying.
Well, yeah, no. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I do some road walking when I get back. Because get back, it's after dark, so I do that. And my day's off, man. You know, I'm still looking at apple trees. You know, I got people calling.
Yeah.
I want you to look at apple trees. So, I don't know. The apple trees are coming at us full strength here at CFA, Catskill Forest Association, when John and I are not on WIOX. Our day jobs are at the Catskill Forest Association. And we got an apple tree pruning program and an apple tree grafting program. So that's tonight's topic, apple tree pruning and grafting on From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. So apple tree pruning. What is this pruning nonsense, John? What is
this? Why bother?
Yeah, why bother?
Well, because someone picked up the phone and said, I want you to come over and prune my trees.
Yeah. Well, for one thing, there's a ton of apple trees in the Catskill Mountains.
Yeah, everybody's got one in the back 40 somewhere, or in the front yard, or the side yard, or wherever. It seems like you can't get away. If you bought a piece of land, you most likely have an apple tree on it, unless it's totally shaded out with those pesky maple trees from the abandoned farm you're on from 50, 60, 80 years ago.
Well, you know, this could be a nice pet project for someone. I was just thinking about this the other day. It's completely anecdotal. I have no empirical data, okay, for you data heads, but... I don't know why, but where I grew up in New Paltz, there's orchards, right? I mean, you got Dressel's, you got Tantillo's, you got Jenkins Lugan. You have Moriello's. I don't even know if that's still there anymore. Anyway, you got a lot of people, right? And these are 100 acres or more apple orchards. But yet, I'll be honest, there's very few volunteer or wild apple trees growing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you don't see that many, as you would think. And when you, and even the abandoned orchards down there, they're like dead. Like, they go from alive to, once they're not cared for, dead. Like, I think the diseases just spread like wildfire and just kill them.
Yeah, and the Catskills, if you let a field grow, if you stop cutting the hay out of a field for 5 years, you're probably going to get an apple tree somewhere in that
definitely.
Field.
Yeah, especially 30 years ago when there was less deer impacts.
Right.
It's puzzling, though, because, you know, I'm thinking of one place in particular. Just south of New Paltz, off Route 208, there was an apple orchard. I since got it verified by an older guy. He used to be a farmer in that area. He's since passed away. And he said that was an apple orchard in 1950s. Complete orchard. And I know so because I would play with the vole screens. We would find the vole screens around where the apple trees were.
Yeah.
They were nothing but stumps. I mean, these were apple trees that was in an orchard in the 1950s, not that long ago. I mean, you know, especially when it was only the 1980s when I was there.
Sure.
Okay? They were gone. They were like rotted down to stumps. So I don't know what that's about.
So they're dying.
Yeah, maybe it's kind of like the beach in the Catskills. Like, you notice that our beach are like 99% infested with beach bark disease?
Yeah, oh
because
yeah.
Because there's so much beach, it just spreads.
Then you get to like southern Sullivan County or you go east.
Or New Paltz, where the beach are beautiful because there's not many of them.
Gorgeous, the gray like they're supposed to be.
Yeah, the disease doesn't spread very fast. So you find beautiful American beech trees. Smooth, great bark. People write their names on them. And they write their names on it for some reason, like a bunch of wrestlers did on my wrestling coach's prize beech trees. Then he chases them through the woods like a madman wanting to murder them. So that actually happened. And it doesn't go away. Then they wrote their names on it, so he knew who to kill. Anyway, that's a tangent story. But yeah, you don't find as many wild apple trees in the Hudson Valley, it seems to me. But up in these Catskill Mountains, they are everywhere, and they do seem to be, I don't know for a fact, but they seem to be, right, they have less diseases. Maybe because it's a colder environment, maybe because there's less orchards, I'm not sure.
And they persist, like you said. You'll find trees that are well over 100 years old. Can't fit your arms around it.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, they're old. They're very old trees. So there's a lot of volunteer or wild apple trees growing. Some are great. Most are from seed, and a lot of people don't realize, but without grafting, you just don't get that apple tree. So, for example, you know, you have, say you like a Cortland apple. You take the seed out of a Cortland, you plant it, what do you get? You don't get Cortland.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
It could be great. Could be the next best thing.
It could be the next best thing, but it's random.
But it's probably not. It's probably sour, probably crap.
Yeah, so the only way to get that Cortland apple is to take a twig or a scion off of it, which is S-C-I-O-N, and you take a twig and you graft that onto a rootstock, which is just a parent apple tree, and now you have a Cortland from that twig on up. But below, it's the rootstock, right?
Right.
So, you know, so a lot of the apple trees you see are wild. Some of them are not. Some of them were planted, and if they're really old, you can tell they were planted varieties because you'll see the old root graft at the base of the tree. But those are old because a lot of the farms date back to the late 1800s, and those are old trees now.
Now, some of them could be grafts that are long lost, a long, long time ago. Every valley seemed to have their own graft.
Yeah.
When it was less likely to transport very far, people just grafted on each other's trees and spread it that way.
Yeah, they did. They were, from what I've read, they were also more for cider.
Okay.
As well, you know, so cider was more in demand, and cider meaning hard cider. You know, it wasn't until those pesky prohibitionists began to tell people not to drink the demon Satan alcohol, and then it became, you know, there was a differentiation between sweet cider and hard cider. But yeah, think about it. In the 1800s, you can't keep sweet cider because, you know, no one has chest freezers and stuff.
Right.
So, not unless you boil it, which, you know, You have to have glass jars, which was a cost to have. I mean, geez, maple syrup didn't even have, wasn't even made until glass jars were abundant, which was really the early 20th century.
Right, everybody would boil maple sugar down to granulated sugar.
Yeah. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Tonight's topic is apple tree pruning and grafting.
There was this kid who got into an accident and couldn't come to school. But when he finally came back, his hair had turned from black into bright white. He said that it was from when the cousin smashed his
Okay, so that song had nothing to do with From the Forest, but it cracks me up. It makes me feel
good. For those that don't know, that song is titled played by the Crash Test Dummies.
only the 1990s could create such a song.
It's not a bad song. It's catchy. It'll be in your head for the rest of the night.
Yeah, we just wanted to put that song out there. And so when you go to bed tonight...
Mm-hmm.
There it is. So this is From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic. Tonight's forest-related topic is apple tree pruning and grafting. Apple trees, very important. When John and I are not here on WIOX, we're at the Catskill Forest Association, and some may ask, apple trees are not really forests. That's true, And it's not so true. But they're so good for wildlife. Everything loves them. Deer. We know the bear loves them. They destroy many apple trees. And, of course, I love them. I know John loves them.
Squirrels. I've seen raccoons in apple trees. One that I pruned last week had porcupine damage up in there, so...
Yeah, we found dead porcupines in trees.
That was unrelated to the apples in the tree. Yeah. It was within sight of the kitchen window of the landowner.
I think we've had... Porcupines aren't protected, right, John?
No.
Yeah, so we've had two members leave us presents before in apple trees.
Two?
Yeah.
I just remember.
Yeah, one was in Bovina. You weren't there.
Uh-huh.
He said, oh, yeah, I left you guys something in that tree. Yeah, thanks.
Watch out climbing up into that one.
Yeah, there's a dead porcupine in there. So, yeah, and then we had another one, right, over near Roxbury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were scouting out the tree and almost stepped on it.
Yeah, Christ's sake. So, okay, so why prune a tree? You know, pruning an apple tree is kind of like analogous to thinning or managing a forest. Okay, how so? Well, I'll tell you. You can still have timber, you can still have deer and wildlife in a forest if you do absolutely nothing. You will. But you could have so much better wildlife habitat or quality timber if you thin it out. If, you know, you're a human being, right? You got a thumb and maybe you know how to use a chainsaw and you can direct sunlight onto the best quality trees. Be they fruit or nut trees, or maybe there's a nice stand of hard maple for, you know, timber. So by doing that, you can grow trees faster and healthier and produce more food and cover for wildlife. Well, same things with an apple tree. You can do nothing, no pruning to an apple tree, and it'll still produce apples. It just won't be as healthy. It won't produce as quality of apples, and it probably won't last as long. And it especially won't last as long now with black bears. Because if you don't make a sturdy, healthy tree, that black bear is going to go to the very top and just rip that apple tree apart.
Sure. What would you say? About a third of all the trees we prune have some sort of black bear damage in them?
I would say at least.
Maybe even more.
Maybe more.
Yeah.
Maybe half.
Not all of it's severe, but
yeah,
some kind of broken something.
It might be actually two-thirds.
The problem is they it's called nesting. They'll go up to the top of the tree, and they'll find a good crotch to sit in. And it's not like they just are falling out of the tree all the time. Usually they don't. That's not what breaks the branch. Usually they're just sitting up in the top, and they get comfortable and pull all the fruit to themselves. And when they do that, they pull the branches in the wrong direction and snap them off.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're falling out. That's one of my life goals. I want to watch a bear fall out of an apple tree.
You're just a sick human being, John.
I didn't say I want to see it get hurt. I just just want to just point and go, ha ha. Saw it.
Well, not sure about you, and now it's confirmed. So making a tree near your house more sturdy in the wind, the way to do that is to make it shorter and less wide, okay? Same thing with an apple tree with a bear or a snow load. If we can reduce its height and width, we can make it sturdier to bear damage and snow load. Those are the two things that can really be severe on an apple tree. They will just split apart, and your apple tree's over. So okay, we don't want that to happen.
And even worse, I mean, we get snows, sometimes heavy snows, in October, and there still could be fruit on that tree, too. So you add that fruit load on top of the snow load, that tree just can't handle it.
Yeah. The other thing is airflow. You know, reading about this stuff and saying, oh, yeah, yeah, airflow. But the thing is, think about it like you're a basement. You know, you don't put your dehumidifier on, what happens?
You get mold.
You get mold, man. Same thing with an apple tree. Now, certain trees, now you say, well, trees in the forest don't have mold on them. It's true. Most of them don't because they're native to this area. And a lot of them have, you know, adapted over thousands of years. The apple tree is a newcomer, all right? It likes it here, but hey, the last 6 months of rain that we received really did a number on apple trees. And it did a severe number on apple trees that were not pruned. And you will notice that a lot of those trees dropped their leaves. And they only hung on to their leaves where?
The top.
The very top where there's air circulation and sunlight to burn off all that pesky fungus. You know? So, because it's really hot. Microclimate where the sun shines. It can get up to 100 degrees. So think about the interior of that tree. It's not getting sunlight, which means the branches are not bringing in enough carbohydrates to warrant them being there, so they're probably going to die anyway. They're not going to produce fruit, because in order to produce fruit, they need to have extra energy to do that. And the third thing is, it's a dank basement in there, man. It's so a breeding ground.
So they're getting leaf funguses and getting attacked.
It's a petri dish.
Nasty.
Nasty. That's what I'm saying. So pruning, it gets airflow, and you're basically reallocating that sunlight onto the best quality branches. And more importantly, or just as important, is which branches, right? Which branches do you want to allocate the sunlight to?
Well, the ones that are doing the best and will be doing the best later on, too.
Yeah. So there's this big secret in apple trees, and it's pretty neat. And I'm going to steal it. I'm going to tell you who gave me the secret. But Boyer's Nursery in Pennsylvania, they have this training little module on their website. I don't know if they still do. But whoever wrote it did a good job. Think of an apple tree branch like a pipe. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. So the sunlight's shining on this pipe, and it creates, you know, sugar water. If it's vertical, it goes right out. But if you bend the branch horizontal, the water, sugar water, stays in there, and it's more fruitful. I'm not saying there's actually sugar water in there. But what happens is there's actually a hormonal thing that occurs that when a branch is vertical, it produces more vegetative buds. But when it's bent to the 60-degree angle or more, it produces more fruit buds. So there's an actual reason, twofold, of why you want apple trees' branches to be in the horizontal or, you know, 60 degrees or so. And that's for two reasons. One, like I just said, more fruit buds. So they actually hormonally produce more fruit that way.
Okay.
The second reason is, and it's kind of counterintuitive, but a horizontal branch will actually have a better crotch or union with the main trunk, and it actually will hold more fruit.
That makes sense. And also maybe a third one, wouldn't there be more surface area available to the sun if it's a horizontal branch?
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's a vertical branch, you can't get any sun to it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I don't know. I thought that was a good analogy with the pipe thing, but...
Sure. Everybody uses the pipe thing. I was researching why my internet is good last night, and they used the pipe thing as well.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding. Well, there you go. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Tonight's topic is apple tree pruning and grafting.
And I wake up in the morning with my hair down in my eyes, and she says hi. And I stumble to the breakfast table while the kids are going off to school. Goodbye. And she reaches out and takes my hand and squeezes it and says, how you feeling, hon? And I look across at smiling lips that warm my heart and see my morning sun. And if that's not loving me, then all I've got to say, God didn't make little green apples, and it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. And there's no such thing as Dr. Seuss or Disneyland, and Mother Goose is no nursery rhyme. God didn't make little green apples, and it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. And when myself is feeling low, I think about her face aglow and ease my mind. Sometimes I call her up at home, knowing she's busy, and ask her if she can get away and meet me, and maybe we can grab a bite to eat. And she drops what she's doing and she hurries down to meet me, and I'm always late. But she sits waiting patiently and smiles when she first sees me, because she's made that way. And if that ain't loving me, then all I've got to say, God didn't make little green apples, and it don't show in Minneapolis when the winter comes. And there's no such thing as make-believe, puppet dolls, autumn leaves, and BB guns. God didn't make little green apples, and it don't rain in Indianapolis.
WIOX is supported by Columbia Green Media, publishers of the Daily Mail newspaper, from Ravenna to Palinville, from the Rip Van Winkle Bridge to the Catskill Creek. The Daily Mail print edition, website, and social media presence are designed to bring the communities of the Catskills timely news, sports, and event information. More at thedailymail.net. WIOX is supported by the Slider Agency on Main Street in Margaretville, a neighborhood independent insurance agency, educating consumers about the hazards related to uninsured drivers and about insurance coverage options. Open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5. More information at 845-586-2641 or slideragency.com. WIOX is a non-commercial educational community radio station, and we're looking for people who might be interested in helping manage our community and underwriting relationships. If you or someone you know might be interested, email today, WIOX at WIOXradio.org.
This is From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic with Ryan and John. Tonight's topic is apple tree pruning and grafting. We might get to grafting. I'm not sure.
Well, there's always future shows. It's not grafting season yet, so we got time.
We got time. True enough. When's grafting occur, right?
April, May. Right as that tree's waking up. It's going to wake up and go, whoa, what happened to me?
Pruning is January through March. When it's really cold and you don't want to be out there, that's when you prune.
Yeah, for the most part. There are a couple things you can do in the off season. You could get rid of that dead wood you've been staring at. You don't have to wait until January when it's cold and nasty. Just cut the dead out of the tree. That could be done anytime.
Anytime. Yeah, you can do that stuff anytime. Don't matter. You can prune in the summer. I know it's sacrilegious to some people. But if you got a tree that you just can't reduce its growth, meaning it's so vigorous, you can prune it starting, beginning after the 4th of July until, you know, mid-August or so. You can prune some of that tree.
That's going to reduce the growth of the tree.
Yeah.
What's that do hormonally to cause that?
Well, I mean, most of the energy of the tree in the growing season is in the top portion of the tree. So it severely...
You're hindering what it has.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Now, if you prune in the dormant season, most of the energy is in the roots. So when it wakes up, it goes, whoa, what just happened? Now, you know, the dormant season is a safer time to prune because why? There's less fungi. There's no fungi really around because it's dormant. It's cold. Nothing grows, right? So it's a better time, safer time. But, you know, I've pruned a lot of trees in the summertime, and I'll be honest with you. Some of those trees were pruned 3-4 years ago, and they still look good because, I don't know, they were pruned in the summertime. But I can almost never sell someone to prune in the summertime.
Yeah.
And I'm usually busy doing other things anyway.
That's true. And it's hot. Who wants to drag the brush?
Yeah. Right. It is. It's freaking hot. So... In any case, January through March is when we prune these trees. And how do you know when to prune a tree? Just don't prune any tree. If it, you know, what are your goals? You know, if it's for wildlife, maybe you just want to release that tree. What does release mean?
Well, like many of your trees that you probably have strewn across your property that are just volunteers, there's other trees that grew with them. Mostly ash. Ash oftentimes is growing through that tree. The apple tree, or there's maple coming in, or something else. But they're starting to shade it out, so releasing it is releasing the competition around it and allocating that sunlight.
Yeah, absolutely. So if it's for wildlife, maybe that's all you do. Pruning is for the very best trees, the trees that you know you want as a legacy. You want to stick around for yourself, really, for picking more. You know, in order to pick them, you really want to, you know, shorten that tree. Width and height. First, you got to release it. Maybe you do that year one. And then year two, you start thinking about pruning. Now, what do you need for pruning? You don't need much.
Handsaw, at the least.
You could really get away with a silky handsaw for almost 95% of apple tree pruning, if you're willing to climb up in the tree.
And Silky is a brand.
Silky is a brand. It is an awesome, awesome handsaw.
Again, not getting paid.
We should be getting paid.
We know some good brands out there.
I know it's going to annoy some of you, but it's Japanese steel, and it is samurai quality, man.
Yeah.
No, you feel like awesome. A samurai. You know? You do. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, what do we got? The 21-foot pole saw? The Hayashi or whatever?
Yeah.
That thing is awesome.
It looks like a samurai sword. The handle's wrapped like a samurai sword.
Oh, yeah. So that thing can reach up into the tree. That's, you know what? We probably use it more to drag branches out. It's nice to have one guy up in the tree, and then you use that pole saw to yank branches out of the tree so it gets out of the person's way. Because what you're going to find when you climb up into an apple tree, you're going to be like an insect stuck in a spider web. That's going to be you. I recommend not wearing a wool sweater.
You're going to ruin it.
Right. Right.
Don't wear anything you like. I have ruined pants in apple trees. I've ruined many base layers in apple trees.
Oh, I know it. Yeah, yeah. Wear a sweater that's kind of like smooth. I don't know how to say that, but like Arborwear does that with a lot of their sweaters on purpose for tree work, you know, so that the branches graze off of you instead of stick, because you will get stuck. So, yeah, those are the two tools, man, a pole saw and a hand saw. If you're not going to climb up in the tree, then you're going to be using a pole saw. The problem with a pole saw is that you can't make cuts that well. What do I mean by well?
Well, they're going to be sticking up on one side because you're 8 feet, 10 feet below it at an angle.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be flush or flat the way they need to be, or angled the way they need to be. You're never going to get the right angle.
Right, man. So it's better to get up there where you can cut just outside the collar or whatever of that branch. And you can make a nice cut. It's nice to have a ladder sometimes, you know. A freestanding ladder for these old apple trees I think works best, because these are big trees. They're not like orchard trees where you can do most of the work by standing in the center of them, right? These trees, you may have to get out on a limb, and maybe you can't literally get out on the limb. So a freestanding, meaning it has a third leg, and 10 feet's enough. You know, you go above 10 feet, you fall from that, and, you know, most of us will be hurt. So,
right.
Nice to have. We also use a harness. You can get a saddle or a harness where when you're up in the tree, you can actually tie yourself in, and that works really well, too.
If you're going to use any type of pruning shears, make sure they're bypass shears,
yeah,
and not the crushing style where there's only one blade that hits a flat wall and crushes the branch off. It's not what you want. You want like the scissor style with two blades that bypass each other and make an even cut.
Yeah, and everything should be sharp, you know. Sharp, sharp, sharp. Sharp is safe. Sharp is better. If you want to use a chainsaw, a 10-inch bar, a pruning saw is all you need, you know. For just about any apple tree.
Yeah, and you're doing some pretty major pruning cuts up in a tree. A lot of those restorative trees, those trees that maybe have never been pruned before. You have to knock them back into shape.
So the first year, release the tree from competing trees that are hogging up sunlight, that are crowding out that apple tree. And then, okay, the next year you want to prune the tree if it's worth pruning. And you want to, it has good fruit and you really want to favor this tree. Just make your structural cuts, and after that, it's maintenance cuts. And to be honest, it's hard to explain pruning over a radio show. So the Catskill Forest Association is having a restorative apple tree pruning demonstration Saturday, February 9th from 10 to 12 p.m., and I think that's in East Meredith?
Yes.
Yeah.
That'll be at 790 Grimm Road, but pre-register with CFA first.
Yeah. So up next, we'll actually get into grafting a little bit, which occurs April through May on From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Tonight's topic is apple tree pruning and grafting.
this town. We're all in my mouth. Only I don't know how they got out here. Turn me back into the dead. I was when we met. I was happier then with no mindset. And if you turn notice the stripes, the dirt in your thrives. Hope it's right when you die. Old and bony, dawn breaks like a bull through the hall. Never should have called, but my head's to the wall and I'm lonely. And if you turn to me like a girl takes to me, Godspeed, all the beggars are done. And they all cut their thumbs and bleed into their buns till they melt away. I'm looking in on the good life I might do never find. Without a trust, the flaming fields am I too dumb to find. And if you turn to me like break, I'd dance like a queen of the eyesores, and the rest of our lives were fed well.
All right, this is From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic. Tonight's topic is apple tree pruning and grafting. We already covered apple tree pruning, so we're going to grafting.
Okay. Why graft?
Why graft? So, like I said, when we're not on WIOX here, John and I, we're at the Catskill Forest Association, and we have the luxury of walking a lot of people's properties in these Catskill Mountains, right? And a lot of people have apple trees. And some people want to plant apple trees, right? Like they want a known variety or some really good tasting, well-known variety, tasting apple. So planting an apple tree is not the easiest thing to do. You think it would be. Sometimes it is. Hey, some people can just stick a tree in there and they got the right site and you know what? That tree's just going to do well. But for a lot of people, that's not the case. They plant too deep, or they don't mulch it, or the weeds get in there, which means it creates nice habitat for the voles. The voles kill the tree. The deer, since they didn't put a fence on it, the deer annihilate the tree. Then when it grows, maybe a buck rubs it to death. A bear kills it when it gets fruit. Okay, so all those things can do in a tree. Another way to go about it, for people who want a low-maintenance option and graft and get a nice tasting tree like maybe a Cortland or a Melba, an heirloom variety like Ashmead's Kernel or something, right? Isn't that a cool name?
Ashmead's Kernel.
Yeah. Cool. Name like your kid Ashmead.
Ashmead?
Anyway.
Surprised you didn't.
Yeah, well, hey, I don't know if number fives can be done. So, you stick a graft onto rootstock. And again, a lot of people have volunteer or wild apple trees. We can use that wild apple tree as root stock and graft above the deer browse.
So, no fence.
No fence. We don't have to worry about what the soil's like or whether this new tree is going to like the soil conditions there, because we're going to use the established roots of the established tree.
The tree already proved that it can grow there.
Right. So we're going to graft all above that. No fence, no vol screen, no mulching involved. Just a couple snips here and there, and off you go. That's the deal.
That simple?
Well, you know, I mean, timing is important. Here's why grafting doesn't occur. Here's the main reason. Planning. So yesterday, I happened to gather signwood. So if you want to graft in April and May, you should get your signwood, the cuttings of the variety you want during the dormant season. Most people aren't going to do that.
Right.
All right. So I was on Kelder's farm. Kelder's are one of the nicest people around. It's a farm down in Accord, Ulster County, and they let me go up to their orchard and get some signwood. And we use those for varieties. I got Cortland's and Ginger Gold, Jonah Mac. What's that out? Mutsu. People love that apple. I love it. It's a great apple, Mutsu. So, you know, those kind of varieties. We're going to get those known varieties. Saunders Kill also lets us do it down in Accord. The Schoonmakers there, really good people. Then we'll just go to people's properties of wild apple trees that we know are good and get those too. Those I like actually more because they're kind of used to the area. They're well adapted, and they're definitely more disease resistant, I feel.
And some of them have a cool story behind them.
Yeah, absolutely. Some people don't know what they are. Sometimes you know they were planted in the late 1800s. No one knows what they are, but we get them.
So we name them after the landowner.
Yeah, it'd be like, you know, Rick's apple, you know, you know, something like that.
Yeah, or somebody's mother's apple or something.
Right. Red pie apple.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of those. But those are cool. And, you know, some of these people have old farmhouses, you know, throughout Ulster, Sullivan, Delaware counties. And we know that they were planted in the, you know, 1880s or something. And that's cool. One person's tree was dying, and we collected signwood before it died and grafted it onto a younger variety and saved that variety. I think that's a neat thing to do. It's fun to do. So, what do you think?
I have a tree that you just reminded me. I got to hike up on the hill and get the signwood off of it because the last 3 years, again, poor planning. The last 3 years I've said, I'm going to graft that tree. And at first, it just wasn't a priority. But last year, it really was a priority. I was like, I am going to graft that tree. And then when I got around to do it, I was like, it's probably too late now. I don't know. So now I have to do it.
Yeah.
It's one of those volunteer trees that just happens to be good. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Obviously, no one's planted it. And out of 100 and so volunteer trees on the property, this is the only one I actually like. And this year, I only had two apples. It was not a good apple year. Had two apples, and I was waiting. I knew right about when to pick them. I was waiting and waiting. I said, all right, I'm going to go up next week and pick those trees. I'm going to pick those two apples. Gone. Gone.
Really?
I missed them. So anyway.
That's what happens. Like I said, planning. So that is a program with the Catskill Forest Association, Apple Tree Grafting Program. If you're looking for apple trees to be pruned, there's also an apple tree pruning program with the Catskill Forest Association. And I just wanted to give heads up on future From the Forest radio shows. I believe next week, every third Wednesday, is with Gary Mead, Mr. Mead from Fruitful Furnishing Sawmill, talk about a different Catskill tree species. After that, I think, is Amanda Cheeseman from SUNY College of Environmental Science and Forestry. She's going to talk about the New England cottontail. Who knew there was a difference between the Eastern cottontail and the New England cottontail, and talk about why that's become a rare species and how to create habitat that fosters that animal. And the last week, there's five Wednesdays in January.
Whoa.
Yeah, whoa. Is Roland Kays from North Carolina State University, and he's going to talk about coyotes. So how about that?
Well, it sounds exciting. We're going to have some wildlife professionals coming on, and it'll be exciting from the forest.
New England cottontail. Apparently not even people with doctoral degrees could tell the difference without a DNA analysis. Deciphering it from
Amanda has a really hard time. I guess the biggest difference is the size of their eyes as their phenotypic traits. Otherwise, yeah, you got to use DNA analysis.
What the? So, yeah.
A little difference in their skull, I think, too.
In the skull? Yeah, I suppose it's like a black spot between the eyes or something, too.
I was reading. Yeah, but that's not... I don't know. I guess it's not, like, pronounced.
Yeah, okay.
Not very easy.
All right. Well, fair enough. New England cottontail. That's all I have on From the Forest. If you missed it, it was apple tree pruning and grafting. And up next is mostly, not all, mostly British with Rick Neblong. Have a good night.
Good night.
Oh, the neon lights were flashing and the icy wind did blow. The water seeped into his shoes and the drizzle turned to snow. His eyes were red, his hopes were dead, and the wine was running low. And the old man came home from the forest. His tears fell on the sidewalk as he stumbled in the street. A dozen faces stopped to stare, but no one stopped to speak. For his castle was a hallway, and the bottle was his friend. And the old man stumbled in from the forest. Up a dark and dingy staircase, the old man made his way. His ragged coat around him as upon his cot he lay. And he wondered how it happened that he'd ended up this way. Getting lost like a fool in the forest.
You're listening to WIOX Roxbury, New York, and WIOXradio.org. It's in your water. Shed. WIOX is supported by the Rec Center, the Catskill Recreation Center in Arkville, with a 25-yard lap pool, a wait-in pool for kids, exercise facilities, an array of personal training and fitness programs. The Catskill Recreation Center, County Route 38 in Arkville, open 7 days a week. More information at 845-586-6250 or CatskillRecreationCenter.org. WIOX is supported by the Daily Star, a regional source for community news, commentary, shopping tips, local sports, and community events. The Daily Star's Total Access delivers the newspaper and breaking news throughout the day on any digital device. More information at thedailystar.com.
Hello. This is Bonnie Mitchell, host of Bonnie's Bop, Friday evenings from 6 to 8. I was actually the very first host to broadcast way back in 2010. I'm here with some wonderful news. The FCC has approved WIOX's expansion, increasing our FM reach and allowing us to serve even more of the Catskills and beyond. Your financial support for this expansion would be